So I want you just to look around at somebody. Just take a look. Just look in somebody's face just for a second. Do that. All right. Now look at somebody else. All right. All right. Now just look around the room for just a second. Just look at all the people you see.
Oh, my gosh,
I love it. All right. Well, there you go. All right. We have our object lesson right here on the front row. All right. So I want to read this poem that I believe really speaks to where we are, because we have this weird tendency to think that I personally am different than everybody else. Well, we always think this. We have this crazy idea that nobody's feeling the way I'm feeling. Nobody's thinking what I'm thinking. Nobody's struggling with what I'm struggling with. Nobody's dealing with any of the stuff I deal with. I must be the first person, and so I got to suffer in silence and deal with it. Anybody say amen? Now listen, we all know better, but this is kind of the way we approach life. So with all those people in mind that you just looked at, I want you to listen to this poem. It's called The Person Next to You. Look around you. Who are the people sitting next to you? The people next to you are the greatest miracles you will ever meet and the greatest mysteries as well. The people next to you have an inexhaustible reservoir of possibilities which have only partially been touched. The people next to you are a unique universe of experience, seething with necessity and possibility, dread and desire, smiles and frowns, laughter and tears, fears and hopes, all struggling to find expression. The people next to you are surging to become something, to arrive somewhere, to have a story, to write a song, to be known and to know. The people next to you believe in something, stand for something, count for something, labor for something. They're waiting for something. They're running towards something, and they're running away from something. The people next to you are more than any description. They're more than any explanation. More, much more. The people next to you are searching for meaning, for inner peace, for self-esteem. The people next to you have problems and fears just like you. They're often undecided, but they're tough in the face of adversity and are able to survive the most unbelievable difficulties and challenges. The people next to you are combinations of all the people they have met in their lifetimes. The people next to you have something they can do better than anyone else in the world. They have strengths they don't even recognize. They need to talk to you about these abilities and need you to listen. But do they dare speak them to you? The people next to you need a friend. They want a friend. They could comfort a friend. They could care for a friend. They probably would understand a friend, and they might love you. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what they want? The people next to you are special human beings, and so are you. You will want to get to know these people. Now, when Jesus starts talking about serving other people in the New Testament, he's talking about regular people. He's just talking about normal folks. He's talking about serving people that are imperfect, that have the wrong values, that don't care for others. And he's still saying to us, serve those people. Well, one of our core values here at Grace Point is to love people. Love people. Now, we can unpack that one all day. It's easy to love good people, and it's easy to love people who love you or love me, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about loving people and serving people who look different, who act different, who think differently, who are not nice all the time. Core value is love people. It's the second greatest commandment, right? God says, love him with all our hearts, and then love people. Just love people. We spend a lot of time thinking about God's calling on each of our lives. It probably has been the discussion I've had the most frequent of any topic over these many, many years that I've served as a pastor. Is I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know where I fit in. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But here's what we need to understand. We spend so much time worrying about specifics. And God wants us to slow down and focus on his calling for every one of us is serving people. Because here's what I figured out over the years, and this, I had to learn this one the hard way. If you get started moving, then God can open more doors. If you sit and wait, it's that old law of momentum thing. Once you get the train going, well, you can keep it going for a long time. But starting a locomotive from zero is very difficult. So the key is, let's get started. Let's start moving in the right direction. Let's get to serving, even if it's not our ultimate calling. Maybe you've done some things that, maybe you joined the dream team along the way and you went, this one's not for me. I shouldn't be doing this. But a little bit of adjustment and you found yourself in a different team and started serving in a different way. And you went, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is how I fit in the kingdom. And I can love people like this in a way that I couldn't there, but I had to get the process started. Many years ago when we started Servolution, you might have joined a team that you thought was going to be great and a perfect fit for you. And then after a few years of serving in Servolution, you finally found the fit, the one that you just go, this is the place. This is where my heart is. This is where my burden is. This is where my gifts fit. And it's about calling, but our calling starts with just serving people. Every time you serve somebody, it's important. Every time you serve someone, it's important. Now, you might have been the one. Let me give you a perfect example. This morning, I drove up. I drove through the porte-cochere up front, and I let Jody out. All right, and she, because it was pouring down rain out there. All right, and I went to park the car, and I get out to my parking spot, and I'm like, okay, here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. And I'm thinking, when I get to that door, front door, I'm going to be so out of breath. I'm going to look like a drowned rat. It's going to be so ugly. But it's okay, right? Because that's what I'm supposed to do. So I get out, and I start running as hard as I can. And I look. I don't know where JR is in the room this morning, but here comes JR with an umbrella. And he finds me halfway across the parking lot. Now, he could have stood up there and had a good laugh at my expense. But he's going out to get. So many of you this morning came in under JR's umbrella. That, sir, yeah, go ahead, amen. That little act of servanthood, you and I might remember forever, but I'll promise you this, God will never forget that. Because serving is the heart of God. Colossians 3:23 says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. JR treated me just like if Jesus had rolled up in a Chevy Blazer this morning. He ran out there and got me the same way I believe he would have if Jesus himself was walking across that parking lot. What does it say? As though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. This servanthood heart matters to God. Because Jesus came to serve us. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man, Jesus, came not to be served. Now let's stop right there. The scripture says, hey, Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve us so that he would be able to give us eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his whole life up. God sent his only Son so that we could be saved. His only Son. So Jesus came, he gave his life so that we could believe. He served so we could believe. Now think about that for a second. Jesus came, served us, the ultimate sacrifice, right? We know it. Jesus died on the cross. We get that. He came to serve so that we could believe. But he was doing all kinds of serving before that. He fed 5,000 people with a few little fish and loaves. Jesus raised the dead. He healed blinded eyes. Jesus loved people who had made a lifetime of bad choices. Now, that's important. If you don't get anything else this morning, get this. Jesus served people and loved people who had made a lifetime of bad choices. Jesus was not picking and choosing. Well, this guy's been pretty good. I think he's worthy of my time. You find Jesus spending the moments of his life with people that needed him, and he did not judge their value on what they had done. He judged their value on the fact that he had created them. They were his child. So we wanted to spend that time with him, Our acceptance into heaven is not based on, or it is based on belief. It's not based on works. But when we give our hearts to Christ, see, Jesus came, he served so we could believe. When we believe, then we start to serve. Now the serving is not what gets you to heaven. You're never going to be able to do enough good to get to heaven. But believing, when we accept Christ, believing leads to serving. So don't be mad at me when I ask you this question. But am I really saved? Am I really a believer if I never serve anybody? Is the fruit of that salvation, is it really showing up in my life? Ephesians 2 says this. Let's look at this. God saved you by his grace when you believed. End of the story. God saved you when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. Can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. So it's God saying, here's eternal life. All you have to do is believe and receive it, and it's yours. Look at verse 9. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. Now watch this. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He had good stuff planned for you to do. And we let all kinds of things stop this process. We believe and then we feel unworthy to serve. We say things like, well, they don't really care what I think. How can I make a difference? How will this even impact anybody? Nobody thinks I'm a leader. We do this negative self-talk thing over and over and over and over. And we allow ourselves to shrink back into the shadows of our own life and sort of endure things. I'm going to endure these years as I go through life rather than saying, I messed up. I saw what Jesus did. I believed. And now I'm going to spend my days serving other people. Look at any survey you want to look at, any study you want to look at, and it will, every one of them will tell you this. The people who serve others are the happiest people. If all I'm trying to do is make me happy, I'll never get there. It's a bottomless pit. If all I try to do is give me what I want, if all I try to do is just buy the next thing, make more money so I can have more stuff, if I'm just trying to fill up that hole with things that I can create, I'm never going to find the joy of the Lord as my strength. But the minute I start to serve other people, now listen, you're going to get burned serving people. You start serving people, somebody's going to give you the nose up. How dare, what? I don't need you. Well, you know what you do in that case? Don't give them a piece of your mind. All right. You don't have enough as it is. So anyway, we've said it before. All right. You walk away and you go to the next person. You move on to the next person. You move on to the next person. You move on to the next person. That person that you were serving and they didn't appreciate it, it's okay. We just read it. You weren't doing it from them. You were doing it for the Lord. You were doing that for Jesus. You're going to always run into mean people. There's a lot of mean people in the world. And if you stop serving because you run into a mean person, you're going to have to find a hole to crawl in for the rest of your life. Because if you run from those moments, you're going to be running for the rest of your life. You serve. And other people are going to look at you and go, well, you're a little bit naive serving them. That's what people thought about Jesus when he started serving tax collectors and spending time with sinners and just like you and me. They thought he was being a little naive and he should have been thinking about his reputation instead of serving those people. You see, when Jesus came to save us and we believed, he wants us now to serve. He has created us anew, brand new in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God's got plans for you to do good things. God's got plans for you to serve. God's got plans for you to use your gifts. Now, You'll eventually, if you serve and you are faithful in your serving, you will eventually get to that place where you go, this is what I'm good at. This is where I see the most fruit. This is the most effective thing I can do for the kingdom. This is the most fulfilling thing I can do. You'll find a place for your gifts to fit. You ever have a ring of keys at home? And you're like, I don't know which one of these keys fits this closet. And there's always somebody involved in this process that goes, I forget about it. But there's one person, there's always one person that will say, I will try every key until I, and you know, everyone. And they sometimes you forget which one you started on, and you don't know how far you got to go. But then the moment that right key hits the slot and turns and the door opens, you go, this was it. But I had to go through all those keys to figure out this was the one. I had to put the time in to serve before I figured out exactly where I fit in the kingdom. And some of us are sitting back and wondering, why isn't God blessing me? Why isn't God showing me my next step? And it might be that you haven't taken a step yet. Because when you take that step, he's going to get you where you need to go. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Because we have this weird idea that our steps are ordered by us. That if I'll figure it out, just give me the plan, Lord, and back off. That's what we want him to do. I told somebody this week that something was going on, and I said, God did not check with me before he did this, all right? It's up to us to say, Lord, I want to be in step with you. Sometimes God is developing us and changing us. You can serve on your job. It might be that you are serving. You could be waiting tables or you could be hammering nails. But either way, you're serving. Not people. You're serving as unto the Lord. What is God doing? Where is God taking you? So serving is always doing. Serving is not a state of mind. All right? Serving is not, oh, I think I love people. I'm a good person. Serving is about action. Serving is doing something. Look at James 2:15. It says, suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, no, get the picture. You're talking to somebody who needs some new clothes. You're talking to somebody who needs food. You're talking about somebody who's in trouble. Verse 16, and you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give them the person any food or clothing. What good does that do? I just want to hang out here just for a second. So somebody is hungry and they need a new coat because they're cold outside. And he says, he's really making a very direct point. He says, and you just look at him and say, hey man, have a good day. Stay warm and eat some good food. And you walk away without giving them anything or serving them in any way, he says, what good does that do? Verse 17 says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. When we follow Christ, it produces action in us, makes us want to serve other people. I love Grace Point for so many reasons, but one of the biggest reasons I love is watching people serve week in, week out, week in, week out. So many of you wake up on a Sunday morning and go, whew, I could sure take a day off. And I get here and you're already here before I got here because you said, I'm going to serve. First of all, you went, I'm willing to serve and I'm going to serve. But I think we've all figured out the blessing of serving in our life. He always blesses us when we serve. James 1:27 says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God. What is serving people? Taking care of people who can't take care of themselves. I want to tell you three times that the Lord blessed, that Jesus, he said, he promised that he would bless us for our servanthood. He would reward us for our servanthood. The first one is when you show hospitality in some way, but it cannot be repaid. It's when you do something for somebody and you know they can never repay you. You would never think, I'm not paying it. I'm not investing in this person. I'm not nothing. I'm very simply saying, I'm going to serve them even though I know it can't be repaid. Luke 14, it says, then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors. Can we stop there for just a second? He said, when you throw a party, don't invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, and your rich neighbors. That's everybody I wanted to invite. Your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors. For they will invite you back. And that'll be your only reward. He's saying, if you're thinking about, boy, if I got to make sure I do this for them because I know they're going to do this for me later. He said, that's not going to do any good. Verse 13, instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. God blesses us. God rewards us when we care for people who can never do anything for us, who can never repay us. It's just giving with no strings attached. I've heard of situations in the past where somebody gives another person a significant gift and the person who gave the gift didn't tell them there were strings attached until 6 months later when the person that received the gift said, well, I don't want to do that, whatever it was, you know, something further down in life. And they said, I don't want to do that or I'm not going there. And the person said, but I gave you money. I gave you something. See, that's not the attitude that God rewards. He rewards it when we're doing this for somebody who can't. Now, here's the next one. He rewards us when we're compassionate with vulnerable people, the vulnerable people of the world. Matthew 25 says this, then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. Now he goes on to tell them, look, you're going to be rewarded for doing this for somebody who could do nothing for you in return. When you have compassion on somebody who is vulnerable, when you give, again, if you give, if you serve, you will be, write this one down. If you give, if you serve, you will be taken advantage of along the way. That does not let us off the hook from giving and serving. Now, we learn to use wisdom and all those things, but just because we were taken advantage of one time never lets us off the hook, because we can't receive the blessing that God wants to pour into our life if we never give to people and serve people who are vulnerable. And here's the third one. We got to love people who are guilty. Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others and it'll all come back against you. Forgive others and you'll be forgiven. Give and you'll receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. What is he talking about? He's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about when we serve other people with grace and forgiveness and we don't condemn them, but we recognize that people are kind of messed up. Everybody has a past. Remembering that maybe we have things in our past that we don't want dredged up. We have things in our past that we had to overcome. We had our struggles. Maybe we're currently having our struggles. And he's telling us, whatever amount of grace and mercy you give out, that's going to be given back to you. You see, we're here in about to be in Servolution Week in a few days. And here's the goal of Servolution Week, to just be like Jesus. That's it. Jesus said, look, I want you to love people. I want you to forgive people. I want you to serve people. We could go down the list. But he's saying to us, I want your belief to show up in action. Not just in Servolution Week, but as a lifestyle. I want you to give people, I want you, as believers in Christ, to give people a reason to believe in Jesus. There are so many reasons not to trust the church world nowadays. There's so many reasons. The people outside the church look in and go, mm-mm. And they forgot what we already knew, that we never thought we were perfect in the beginning. But somehow the world has gotten an idea that the people in the church, the people believe, the believers, the followers of Christ, have thought that they were perfect, and we've never thought that, at least not around here. We've never thought that. And the way we convince somebody to give their life to Jesus is to show them what Jesus would be doing if he was walking on earth right now. What would he be doing? He'd be loving people that were unlovable. He'd be caring for people who were not caring for themselves. He would be showing mercy. He would be serving. He would be doing all these things. Why? So that people could believe. So when we're serving this week or next week, when we're serving, every time you finish washing a car, I want you to look in that car and go, hey, Jesus. Don't say that to them. That'll freak them out, all right? Every time you drop off a basket at a firehouse, hey, Jesus. Every time you give out a bag of goodies to a city worker, you're welcome, Jesus. Every time you drive a nail into a senior citizen's house to work on some shingles or shutters or whatever you're doing, did this for Jesus. See, he wants us to share his love with other people because we've experienced something they need to experience. Don't do it to them, do it for Jesus, as if we were doing it for the Lord, is what the scripture says. I want to ask the band to come back with me for just a minute. I want you to stand with me. We're not leaving yet. I don't know what time it is, but we're not leaving yet. Let's see what time it is. All right, we got time. What if we realized and we said, My main calling, the main identifier of my life is servant. If somebody says, what do? You're not going to say this, okay? Don't say this. It'll sound pretentious, and don't say it. But what if in our minds we're thinking, I'm a servant? I'm a servant. That's what I am. When two men meet and they go, what do? What if in the back of your head you're thinking, I'm a servant? Not, I'm the boss, or I'm a business owner, or I'm a servant. How would that change the way we live our life? What would that do to our everyday walk with the Lord if we said, I'm a servant. Today, my job is to serve. Again, whether we're waiting tables or typing on a computer, if our job was to say, I'm a servant today, how does that change things? I really want us just to sing this song for a minute. I really want us to prepare our hearts as we go out. I feel like it's a moment where we just need to say, Lord, I'm going to walk out of here in a little while, and I just want to be your servant. I just want to serve you with all of my heart. This week, I want you to use me for your glory. Let's sing it together, everybody. Let's sing.
Caught up in your presence. want you. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. 'Cause I just want.
Recognize that we are not just doing this for them, we're doing this for you, Lord, that we're lifting up the name of Jesus as we serve other people. God, we thank you, God. We praise you, Lord. We're asking you to bless this Servolution season at Grace Point. Lord, a week from now, we are going to start a whole week of intense servanthood. It's going to be so much work, but it's going to be so fulfilling. We ask for your help and your blessings and your will, and we trust you, God, for what you've done in the past. But God, we trust you for what you're going to do this coming week. And we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.